From the University of Central Florida's Center for Distributed Learning, I am Tom Cavanaugh.
And I'm Kelvin Thompson.
And you are listening to the Teaching Online podcast, known to its friends and family as the Tomcast. So, Kelvin, I wonder if you could just say a word or two about the intent behind the Tomcast. Let's just sort of define it off the top.
Off the top. I see what you did there. That was nice. That was good. Yeah, I think the thinking here is to have a dialogue about some of the issues, trends, concepts related to successful online teaching and learning programs. So folks like us, online learning professionals, in the broadest sense of that term, what are some of the issues, and hopefully make that something that is engaging as folks are listening to this, and they can actually respond to us, and we can have a broader conversation about current topics. I don't know. That's what I was thinking. What were you thinking?
Yeah, what you said. I think that you've defined it pretty well. The idea is to just try to create a dialogue about some of the most pressing issues in higher education, particularly technology-based and online education. And, you know, it's a subject we are both really interested in, and we think others might be interested in as well. So with that as context, we have chosen a topic today that we think is of particular interest to everybody.
What is today's topic?
Well, before we go there, let's see what's in the thermos, shall we?
In the thermos.
For those of you who don't know Kelvin is something of a, I won't say snob, I will say coffee aficionado.
Snob is probably more accurate. I don't know much, but I'm snobbish about it.
So Kelvin has brought in a particular blend today that we are sampling, and it is quite strong for me anyway.
Is that right? Yeah, I was thinking it was kind of mild. Okay, that's good.
Well, there you go.
There it is.
See where each of our palates
there
are.
There it is. So this is, I picked this up this weekend, actually. It was a local roaster, imported, I guess, the green coffee beans from the northern mountain region of Thailand. And I loved this one for our topic today, Tom, because no joke, I didn't even know this until I bought it. I just said, what's interesting? Because that's my standard. What's interesting? Dark, light, whatever. It's got to be something not bland. And the guy said, oh, you got to try this Thai coffee. And it had a name, and I'll probably butcher it, but I think it's pronounced, the way that they refer to this is Khao Tsai.
No, that's wrong.
It could be.
No,
it could be.
What do I know?
It probably, if I get the tonality wrong, it probably means, excuse me, may I go to the bathroom or something. But it's supposed to mean to understand. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
To understand.
To understand. And we were talking about this before we hit the record button, that it's hard often to be understood in this online teaching and learning space. People misunderstand us all the time. I feel so misunderstood. Don't you feel misunderstood?
Sometimes. I was at a conference one time where this person giving the keynote got up and said, isn't it great to be in a room with a bunch of people and you don't have to explain what you do for a living? And I thought, yeah, that is true. How many times has my mom asked me, what do you do again?
Something with computers,
I think. Computers, right. Can you fix my monitor?
That's right. Yeah.
So that's the topic for today. We're going to talk about kind of the definitions around different subjects in online learning and what they mean. Because saying one word could mean five different things to five different people. And I think we've all encountered this in our careers. And so I've got a short list here. I thought I'd just throw a few out just to kind of set the context so people understand what we're talking about.
Awesome.
Online learning. How about that one?
Yeah, that's often misunderstood.
MOOCs, competency-based education, mm-hmm. badges. It's the one that—
We don't need those stinking badges.
Yeah, it's a bane of mine right now, defining badges for people who aren't taking them seriously. Adaptive learning. Blended learning? What is blended learning? I get this question still all the time.
How is it different than hybrid learning?
Right. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not. But the question of how much has to be online for mm-hmm. it to be blended, what's the threshold? Flipped classes? And when you talk about online learning, where I started, you know, you have all kinds of different definitions. Templates, master courses, mm-hmm. web enhanced, you know, somebody who creates an original online course. So all of this kind of comes back to this concept that a colleague of ours here at UCF, Chuck Jubin, likes to talk about, which is the boundary object.
Right, right, right.
Which isn't a concept he came up with. It was developed by Susan Lee Starr and James R. Griesemer.
How'd you know that?
Thank you, Dr. Wikipedia.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But, no, actually, Chuck told me <That's good. laughs> as well. But I did look up the reference, and I'm going to give a quick citation here that boundary objects are objects which are both plastic enough to adapt to local needs and constraints of the several parties employing them, yet robust enough to maintain a common identity across sites. So what does that mean?
What does that mean?
That means that I can say one word that means something different to two different people. So if I say online learning to somebody who is not necessarily as familiar with it, they might think, oh, you mean those MOOCs I've been reading about in Time magazine.
Right.
To somebody else, it might mean, oh, you mean the lecture capture thing that I take at class. Or to somebody else, it might mean, oh, you mean you put your syllabus online in my face-to-face class. How do you define what online learning means across all of these various definitions? It can be a challenge.
And isn't part of the boundary object thing, too, that you might – it's like you throw out something. Like you say, yes, blended learning is the thing right now. And everybody in the room, 50, 60, 100 people go, oh, yes, blended learning. That's the thing. But then they may have 50, 60, 75 different concepts of what that is.
What that is, exactly. And it, you know, it's something that I think we deal with locally at our institution and all of us deal with, but it's also something I think we deal with much more broadly when you're talking to senior administrators or the press or the public. We were talking about this earlier when we were talking about this subject. How many times have you been at a party, like a Christmas party?
I never get invited to parties.
Yeah. Well, we're all having parties without you, Kelvin.
That's probably true.
Having conversations.
I would bring coffee if you guys would invite me.
And we'll be understood.
That's right.
Well, I've had this question at parties.
What do you do,
what
Tom?
What do you do, Tom? Well, I'm the online learning guy at UCF. Oh, online learning. Oh, so what do? You bring the big video camera in the classroom and you record everybody and you just stick it on the web and you kind of sigh and you kind of go, yeah, whatever. And I mean, sometimes it's just not worth the effort to explain. That's a piece of it.
That's right.
We have
right.
some classes that are kind of like that, although not exactly, but yes, lecture capture. But that's the vast – I mean, that's a small minority of the vast broad range of online learning that we do here. Mm-hmm. So that – to that person, online learning meant let's videotape it and put it on the web.
Yeah, I've had that, right? I mean, go in for a haircut and, make conversation because a hairstylist 101, so what do you do?
Right.
You know, and I give my little thing. Oh, I try to make online and blended learning even better a little bit every day. You know, and they're like, oh, online learning, same thing. Cue up the little thing.
Yep.
So that's kind of like, no. Well, actually, no, not so much. And I usually try to explain a little bit. Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people think that, but no, not so much. It's, it can be a lot of things, but usually emphasized by a lot of interaction between and among the students and the instructor, and it's more flexible for people, and they're like, huh. You know, or I will say, have you ever taken any online courses? And sometimes people say, well, only when I got that traffic ticket.
Yeah.
Like, that's a non-example. That's yeah. punitive online learning. We try not to design that way.
It's not exactly the kind of feeling we want people to have when they think about online learning.
But it's frustrating, right? You sometimes have to unbundle that. And I guess it doesn't really matter if it's somebody that's cutting your hair. Well, as long as you don't tick them off because, you know, it could be bad. Or somebody at a social gathering or a party that I don't get invited to. But if it's a key stakeholder, if it's your learners or your trustees or your president or your faculty, understanding how this is operationally defined at your institution is probably important.
Yeah, I mean, the whole kerfluffle with MOOCs.
Kerfluffle.
Yeah.
Is that, you have a blueberry
that's next week's coffee.
That's right. It's
kerfluffle.
I think I could have some
blend.
Blueberry kerfluffle with this guy. That'd be nice. I like that.
I mean, look at just what's happened, though, with trustees reading the trades and learning what the word MOOC, the acronym MOOC, was, and getting interested in it without having a full understanding of what online learning is.
Yeah.
And as much as I love our colleagues at the Ivies and some of the more prestigious schools,
right.
In some ways, some of these schools acted like they invented online learning in the last 5 years.
That's right.
When those of us have been doing it for almost 20, we're like, well, over here.
Hello.
But it's a different kind of online learning.
It is a different kind of online learning.
And the conflation of MOOCs with online learning by the general press.
The bane of our existence.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that MOOCs are bad. MOOCs can be very good. But it's just, as I say, it's one flower in the garden of online learning. And there are many flowers. There's lecture capture. There's MOOCs. There's computer mediated. There's blended.
That's right.
There's
That's
flipped.
Right.
You know,
That's
they're
right.
all online learning in various
That's
ways.
Right.
It's the quintessential boundary object.
Yeah. That's awesome. Do you want to talk for a second about MOOCs? You know, I heard, I wish I could remember who said this now, but somebody in the MOOC community who's really been in the MOOCishness, I can just go with this all day. Someone once said that every letter in that acronym is debatable.
Okay.
Massive open online course. And well, do they have to be massive? What is massive? Mm-hmm. How, you know, what's the threshold for massive? Am I in massiveness now? Online. Well, what is the nature of that? Is it the kind of online in our quote, you know, now we have traditional online courses, Tom.
Yes.
We talk about that.
We've turned a corner somewhere.
You know, open. You know, what does open mean? How open? Does that mean free? Do you have to log in? How open? And has it got to be Creative Commons licensed? How does that work? And then course. What's the nature of a course? You know, some people say, MOOCs are more like really interactive alternatives to textbooks mm-hmm. than they are mm-hmm. courses in the facilitated academic sense.
Well, I think you're just making the point that that MOOC itself is up for, you know, interpretation by each person hearing it. But then each word in that acronym is potentially up for interpretation as a boundary object. All right, so let's look at the next one that we listed, the hottest topic in higher ed now, which is competency-based education.
Yeah, right.
So I'm interested in it. It's something that we're sort of advocating here. And defining it for people has been, a bit of a challenge because you want them to know what you're talking about, but without bringing some potential baggage along with it from perceptions or misperceptions of what they think it can be. And then a lot of the dialogue around competency-based education and the difference between that and mastery-based education mm-hmm. And just a simple ability to accelerate as mm-hmm. opposed to mm-hmm. just sticking to a traditional term. That's been something that I know that you have been mm-hmm, been mm-hmm. dealing with locally here.
Yeah, that's right. And then also I think entangled with that sometimes just to kind of get a little street cred from people who've been in our field for a while, the competency based is not new.
Right.
You know, kind of like the folks who came into the MOOCs and figured they invented online learning. Some of our CBE colleagues, it seems like, oh, we just invented something new. And no, I mean, competency-based learning, education, instruction, whatever, has been around a long time. And so
Been around in a non-technologically mediated.
Correct. Format. That's right. But the whole idea of articulating competencies and then maybe even sometimes people get into the backward design, here's your learning objective / competency / outcome / whatever synonym, and then here's your assessment of that, and then the activity. Well, that's, some might argue, just really good instructional design, mm-hmm. right? So how is that different even than the CBE thing? But yeah, we've been certainly talking about that here at UCF and beginning to even have some little internal conversations about might there be a degree program that might benefit from a competency-based education approach where there's some acceleration and mm-hmm. and so forth. And it's fascinating when you start digging in beneath the surface. There's a lot of moving parts.
Sure. And then you just add one more flower in the online garden to confuse everybody when you say online learning. All right, so here's one that I think is interesting because I've had this conversation a number of times about badges, digital badges, and what that means.
All right.
Because I've literally gotten laughed in my face when I've brought up the idea of digital badges and the Gold Stars and the Boy Scouts. And those of you who are involved with Boy Scouts know that some of those badges actually require some
hard work.
Yeah,
that's right.
To accomplish. But when I have said, okay, just take the word badge out of the equation.
It's gone.
Call it certificate. Does that change things? Well, that's a certificate.
That's different.
That's different. But it's not. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same thing. It has mm-hmm. the exact same criteria. You just changed the label. Mm-hmm. And suddenly it's okay. It's not trivialized or silly like a digital badge might be. Well, it's just a, you know, it's a, what a rose by any other name
right.
would smell as sweet as a digital badge. So that has been a little frustrating for me, but I've found taking the label off and putting a different label on it.
Well, what might you use instead of badge? Certificate?
Yeah. I mean, that's how I've kind of neutralized that kind of, you know, dismissive attitude to badges by putting that certificate label on it. But, you know, we've talked here about achievements or other kinds of names for it. But when I've gotten this argument against badges, this sort of dismissive attitude, it's been more by kind of traditional academic sources that just don't kind of get the idea of a badge. But a certificate, that makes sense because we do those.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that gets you somewhere, although just to kind of flesh that out a little bit, right? So the whole digital badges movement or if it's a movement, it's, I guess, framed as micro-credentialing, and there's more performance-based and some metadata surrounding that so that the criteria for an individual badge are very evident. And maybe it's very, speaking of evident, maybe you can even make it, you can actually see evidence of that performance linked right, online somewhere right from this digital badge or certificate or whatever. So when you say certificate, and I think of like, here's your paper certificate,
right.
But there's a lot more that goes with it in an infrastructure, potentially, when you're coming from the digital badges framework. Right?
Sure. And although I say they're the exact same thing, they're actually not the exact same thing.
Right.
I understand. And there's actually a lot more flexibility in defining criteria for digital badges and making them at whatever threshold of rigor that you want. But in, you know, the subject of this is to be understood.
Yes,
And to define things so that people are both talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
That's a strategy I've used, is by just taking the label off and putting a different one on, and to get people to go, oh, so that's what you're talking about.
Right. And, you know, I think you brought up a great word, baggage, right? So I think that's probably part of being understood, or maybe how not to be misunderstood, is to be sensitive to what baggage particular labels have. And if somebody's laughed in your face when you said badges, you probably don't say badges again.
Well, I do, but yeah, it takes me a long time to learn. I have to get hit by that newspaper a couple of times before I learn. All right, so maybe we can kind of turn towards more practical solutions. So talk a little bit about what we are doing here locally to help mitigate some of these issues. Not that we've solved anything, but, you know, so I talked a little bit about one strategy, which is to kind of just take the label off and put something else on. But something else that we've done here to help kind of make it consistent across the university is to do what a lot of schools have done, which is define the modalities very clearly and be very consistent about continually using those modalities, and then enforce them with some back-end infrastructure. So we've got five modalities here.
And five modalities,
five.
My God.
That's right. Four and a bonus. so, you know, face-to-face, we have a blended modality, which we call mixed mode. We have two different flavors of lecture capture, and each of them have their nuances, and then the fully online web-based in the LMS. And they have their acronyms, their little, you know, one or two letter codes. And by constantly using them over and over again, everybody knows what you're talking about when you say a W course.
That's right.
And I have people say to me, is this going to be a W or an M? And when you hear your codes coming out of other people's mouths.
Success.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think that's excellent. And, you know, I think another part of that is, so it is a good metric when your terminology comes out of somebody else's mouth. The other thing I think is that's been a great source of data for us. Having those definitions and having systems that use those definitions, we have a better sense of, well, how many of this particular defined modality do we have? And, you know, and there, of course, there's further gradations probably within each of those modalities, but just in terms of, you know, being able to count how many W courses versus how many M courses versus how many of the video lecture capture courses and so forth. That's very helpful for us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it first and foremost helps to level the conversation. But, yeah, you couldn't do that kind of data collection and reporting if you didn't have these kinds of you know, defined modalities.
That's right.
Because we get asked to report on that stuff all the time, like everybody else.
So it's probably a good lesson learned and a good help in moving forward with some of these other innovations, that if you're really going to have get beyond the experimentation phase, probably some sort of an institutional definition, an institutional mm-hmm. buy-in, an institutional label that is anchored into university systems or other processes is probably a good goal to shoot for, would you say?
I would definitely agree. In fact, I think that's almost a foundation for moving forward, at least in our experience here. I think it's really critical. And then just be consistent with it, because the minute you start letting other parties, and that's everybody, kind of define what you are doing, mm-hmm. then it becomes really hard for you to make a case for what you're doing or to ask for resources for something, because they may think you're asking for something entirely different.
No, that's a very good tip. So probably just being sensitive to who you're talking to and what baggage they might carry with each of those labels, and then letting that inform your institutional label and definition is maybe a good lesson learned with all of these things.
Yeah, I would agree. And so with that, it's probably a good place to kind of wrap it up for today.
I drank all my coffee.
I have a couple of sips left.
Alrighty.
So thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate the opportunity to kind of have this dialogue. Please be in touch with us. And
we'd love to hear what you think.
Absolutely.
Are we just full of it? I mean, or do you agree? Do we have
that's,
you know,
okay.
Talk
sometimes
back.
We are.
Yeah, that's right.
So for the Topcast, this is Tom.
And Kelvin.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.